how to make things better, how to improve, and improve in its broadest sense. I know the improvement agenda seems to narrow us down to maths and English quite regularly, but it's improve in terms of all aspects of school. Let's improve happiness as well as our ability to do maths. Happy maths takers are a much better thing. So let's think about improvement of all others, an improvement of self as teacher. So how can we be better learners? How can we be better teachers and improve the space in which we work every day? Research should be integrated into that practice. It's not something that is a bolt-on in my head. It is something that should help with that teaching and learning practice that we're involved in every day. We need to think about expertise and different expertise for different purposes. I nearly put a picture of Michael Gove up there, but then it might put you off right early in the presentation. He made expertise a bad word, and I don't think it is a bad word. There are people with expertise, but recognising that each of us has expertise in our own classrooms. And so thinking about how we can access different expertise for different purposes is an important part of that research engagedness. And ultimately, it has to be useful. So if you look at the literature, there are two signs of this research engaged. There is engagement with and engagement in research. And if you look at the work of Philip Accordingly from the Curie Centre in London and the work of Elaine Hall, they both talk about this engaging with and engaging in. Engaging with research as a field, the literature and the practice, but also engaging in the process of undertaking some research. And it's a combination of these two that will bring about a research engagedness. Wednesday afternoon, engagedness. And what I'm going to talk about now in this first 20 minutes is a bit about both of those. What do they look like? This research, engaging in research and engaging with research. It fits very well into practitioner inquiry in my head, both engaging in and with. And if you look at what I've written about my experiences of practitioner inquiry in the Scottish system in the last 2 years since I moved up, and a deliberate move up from England, I have to say, to where practitioner inquiry is the norm and in policy, I see people doing inquiry as stance and I see inquiry as project. And neither is better or worse, and they're not in competition, but they don't tend to meet. And we need to think about how we can support individuals in coming together, in having that sort of inquiry belief, that epistemology, that way of questioning how to improve, and also that project mentality of doing a piece of research. But there shouldn't be an opposition. It shouldn't be all or one, and we should start to think about how they come together. And so what I see is different groups of people doing one or the other. And without access to a sustained culture within their school or within an organisation, then they struggle. And it can make for a real heightening of awareness of how different the ideal scenario of school is in comparison to real life. And I have to be honest, so I was a practitioner inquirer when I was teaching, but I was not in a culture that was supportive of that approach. And it made me very dissatisfied with what was going on in my school and where I thought education should be and where it was in the school where I was working. And it made my life just that bit more difficult. I mean, teaching's difficult as it is. So we need to try and reconcile the two together. And I think the research element should be a positive thing for bringing these two things together. However, at the moment, we have a current agenda of research which is prioritising evaluatory methods. An evaluation, the work of John Hattie, EEF, and that's putting a certain set of pressures on teachers to do a certain kind of research. And I would argue that practitioner inquiry and developing research in a school is not about evaluation. We've got John Hattie and the EEF doing that, so that's great. We don't have to do that. It's about something that is much more detailed and about practice in the school. So I have concerns when I hear teachers talking about, I'm doing research, I'm going to evaluate this, and I'm going to judge the impact based on these measures. That's all language that talks to a certain type of research, and we need to be more creative about methods and think about, well, what do we really want to find out and how do we want to find it out? And think about those tools that we know work in terms of our practice to find out what people think about different ways of doing. I'm not saying the EEF and John Hattie is not useful. I am, and you'll see when I talk about engaging with, I think it's a useful starting point for practitioner inquiry. What I'm saying is if you're engaging in research, in your classroom, those evaluation techniques have limited application because you are engaged in the research. You are there doing it. And so therefore, those kind of research types are difficult. So we need to address the intent of practitioner inquiry. It's about student need. It's starting out with your nag, your itch about what is needed in your setting. That group of children that you think are not participating in the way you hoped. What happens when I do group work in maths? Something goes wrong or right, and I need to explore why that is. It's about thinking about, why does Bob not manage in that lesson on that day? What's going on that affects Bob's attitude to school on that day? It's about improving educational outcomes, and in its broadest sense. So how will I know if I've made it better for Bob on that day in that lesson? What do I need to look at to explore that? Is it the fact that Bob's smiling a bit more at the end of that lesson? Is it the fact that he sat still? Is it the fact that I haven't sent him out of this lesson and I've managed to keep him in? So measures that are much more close at hand and near to those student outcomes as you see them in your classroom. It's about supporting that practitioner insight into what goes on in their classroom and giving a robustness to that with a research lens. And I think by doing that, you lead to a metacognitive approach, a reflective and strategic way of thinking about what goes on in the classroom. And for me, generating metacognitive practitioners is really important. It's important we need to reflect on what we've learnt and what worked and what didn't work, but we also need to do something to make it better. So how do we find the space, do the risk, do something to make it better? So for me, practitioner inquiry is a cumulative process, and it's based around that plan, do, review that was basis of our ITE training. It shouldn't be something extra. It shouldn't be something more. But if you are going to turn up that research lens, it's about collecting some systematic evidence and sharing it, making it public. And Lawrence Stenhouse is a key writer around this, and his mantra of systematic inquiry made public is really relevant at this point. What that evidence might be, what that systematic evidence might be, is up to you as the researcher. It's not just about evaluation. It's not just about test scores. It could be about what kids think. It could be about what you think. It could be field notes. But some systematic evidence, and to share that. How you share it will depend on the organisation, how formal or informal you go. So we need a creative conversation about what is evidence. What is evidence enough to prove you have an answer to that question? What does it look like? What does the evidence look like? Think about all those different types of evidence that you create in your classroom, in your school every day. Let's not start with questionnaires, observations, interviews. Let's start with that data that we've got to hand already. Not something extra, something that we've got already. And that's where we should start, rather than something that is researchy for the sake of research. And we need to think about them as data-rich organisations that can be used for purposes of research. And think about how we can, and this is where my Northeast, I was a teacher in the Northeast, proper. In the Northeast, you talk about proper, and what's proper research? And let's just explode that myth of what's proper and what's not. If you are wanting to know about what works in your classroom, does it have to be master's level research? No. Could it be master's level research? Yes, it could. But it's what's enough for you to answer your research questions. Too often, research is caught up in some of these understandings about what universities think research should be. And I think we need to just scale that back a bit. What is enough for you to know that you've answered your question? So alongside that, we need to encourage teachers to think about engaging with research, because the more we read different types of research, the more confident we can become about what type of methods we can use to interrogate our practice. So we need, as an organisation, as a system, to make research accessible. The fact that you have access on GLOW to the journals is great, But don't think that the journals are the only place where you can find research. SCALE, the GTCS, the universities are all publishing teacher research. And that's what I mean about sharing expertise. There are teachers doing practitioner inquiry all over Scotland, and yet suddenly, when we talk about research, we need to go to journal articles as a way of, no, let's look at them, all the research. There's lots of different types of research, and use that as useful. We need to think routinely about research as helping us to answer the questions why. Why did that happen? Why might I do that differently? Why would I do that again? What can research tell us? I think research leads in schools are quite an interesting innovation. I see them happening in England, although I have some concerns about the extent to which they are just communicating research from outside into the school rather than being a two-way conduit. If expertise is shared and there's expertise in probationers, in your probationer community in your school, then it needs to be a two-way thing. There needs to be a dialogue. It can't be just about feeding what academics do into your school. Because academics are doing a certain type of research. We need all types of research to provide those lenses. We need to support further study. I mean, did you know that you can do a doctorate using practitioner inquiry? I was talking to Fergal at SCALE the other week, and he was like, no, I have to do proper research to do a doctorate. No, I've got students doing doctorates using practitioner inquiry. Let's think about, it's actually quite hard to do practitioner inquiry at EdD and think about your practice in that level of detail. We need to think about special interest groups to support these communities and this dialogue around what is research and what is useful. And maybe reading groups are quite a good thing to think about. And reading groups that are not seen as elite select groups that only have a group of knowledge that no one else can access, but reading groups as something that are flexible and inclusive of different types and levels of expertise. So it's engaging with research, of different types of academic research and thinking about what's out there, but it's also thinking about those practitioner research that's available and how that might help. Because actually, these are written by teachers for teachers, and you might get a more accurate guide from those. I think it is helpful to look at the EEF and those big toolkit ideas as to where you might focus your attention. If you're starting a piece of research in your setting and you're not sure what might be of interest, then this gives you the best bets. It gives you what might be a good starting place. I've got struggle with this group of children. Well, what might I do? Well, let's look at feedback and metacognition as a really good starting point. You don't need to replicate the kind of evaluatory research that they've done, but you can look at those in your own way as to what that might look like in your setting. And I think, coming back to what we might be encouraging in the classroom, it's quite useful to think about developing a critical lens to research techniques, but also to pedagogic techniques. What works, what doesn't work, and why does it work? And something like Bloom's taxonomy works just as well to be exploring those techniques at a professional learning level as it does for students thinking and questioning. So one of the things I would encourage is to see the mirror between what you do in the classroom to support those children's thinking and how we might do it for ourselves. How often are you thinking at the evaluatory synthesis level about what's going on in your classroom, about the different research that's coming in your direction? So I think it's about creating a practitioner inquiry culture in a school, in an organisation, in a local authority. And I think there's four principles to doing that. The first is the principle of autonomy. Asking questions that are important to you about your context. It's not about someone else telling you what to do. That doesn't help. It doesn't make it feel like it's something that is enticing when you're told that this is what you need to do. The locus of control should be with the inquirer. What questions are important to me? If you're going to ask questions that are important to you, then you have to be ready for principle number two, which is the principle of disturbance, that you'll probably get lots of questions in answer to your question rather than a simple answer. Education is full of people who think they've got simple answers to the problems of education, and most of them are probably wrong. And that's a good thing, and it keeps us in a job and you in employ, because if we could solve education simply, that would be us done. It's going to be disturbing, and you have to be ready to be a bit out of kilter, because what you expect and what might happen might be slightly different. And practitioner inquiry is kind of disabling like that, but I think that's a good thing, and that's how learning happens. If we think about children in our classes, we want them to be a bit out of kilter. We want them to be learning something new, to be challenged, to be not knowing. Well, I think practitioner inquiry does that to teachers. But how you embrace that feeling of being a bit out of kilter is something that we need to support. And I think we can support that by principle number three, by dialogue, by talking to people, by being supportive of each other. Practitioner inquiry for me is about teacher voice. And we need to support teachers in having a voice, talking to each other, and supporting and thinking about what works and what doesn't. And the final thing which helps to tackle this issue of time is how we can see practitioner inquiry as connecting to those other things that we do in our day. So practitioner inquiry as useful. It's about thinking about the link between teacher metacognition and student metacognition, teacher well-being and student well-being. And I think practitioner inquiry helps that. And the more connections we can see, inquiry-based learning in the classroom, practitioner inquiry in the staff room, there is a mirror effect that we need to embrace. Oh, that went up rather than down. And so in terms of how you sustain this, then I do think then that practitioner inquiry should be there at all levels. Too regularly, I am seeing it being about those novice classroom practitioners. So it's about probationers, it's about NQTs, and once I get to a certain level of proficiency, I don't need to think about practitioner inquiry anymore because I've done it, box ticked. Actually, I think it should be the university professors, it should be the head teachers that are doing the practitioner inquiry and sharing it down through the system. Because if we can admit we've failed, we can admit we've still got questions, then that sets a very powerful model for those probationers and NQTs that are coming into our career and our profession. So we need to think about practitioner inquiry at all levels. And when John Swinney's wanting a mentor for his practitioner inquiry, I'm quite willing to support. But as I think he should be. He should be undertaking the questions and inquiry to think about how we can make this system better. From John Swinney, I'm going to hand over to Anna, who's going to talk a bit about the policy setting. Okay.